Welcome to Gotinvention Radio. I'm your host, Brian Fried, and I have Akiva Shidman. He is the inventor of Be Active, which is a TV infomercial product right now that's been showing some great success. Welcome to the show, Akiva.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on today.
I heard you're a fan of Gotinvention Radio.
I am, actually. I've been listening to you for probably a few years, actually, as I've been going through the invention process. You've actually been an inspiration to me, as you know, through your guests you've had.
Thank you, Akiva. I appreciate that. Good stuff on here, and what we're going to do tonight is we're going to pick your brain for other inventors listening that can learn from you, because you've been there, done that now. Congratulations. And now let's get some other inventors to the next steps. But we want to know a little bit about you first, Akiva. Tell us your story. Where you're from, what you've done in the past, and we're going to find out more about your Be Active product.
Great. Thanks, Brian. So I'm from New York. My wife and I were living in Riverdale, New York, which is in the Bronx. I'm a physical therapist by trade, and I was a physical therapist in actually a place in White Plains, New York. We were doing fine over there for a while, but we moved to Baltimore, Maryland about 10 years ago as our family was getting a little bit larger and growing. Now we've got six kids, thank God. We got two girls and four boys. And here we are in Maryland. I'm continuing as a physical therapist here in a local hospital. And what I've been doing is looking at things that I do during the day in the clinic, little techniques that I'm developing, and I try to find ways to use that knowledge and experience to develop new products. Yeah.
And I'm sure that something came about that went, aha, I have an idea that's going to maybe help people. And what did you do?
Absolutely. So a number of years ago, and this was actually even before I moved to Baltimore, but I was working in a clinic, and I had people that would come in, some clients, and certainly they would have knee pain and ankle pain, but often they would have back pain. And I had one particular client that had pain that radiated down his back into his buttocks and down his leg. And he had pain, he told me, for 5 years, and he went to therapists, chiropractors, surgeons. No one could help him. Nothing. No relief. Even for 1 minute.
Was that sciatica?
It was a form of sciatica. At the time, I thought it was something called a piriformis syndrome, which is a compression of sciatic nerve, but certainly a form of sciatica, yeah. And so I tried everything I could for this guy. Everything I had in my tool belt, pulling it out, trying to get some relief for this guy. And no relief, whatever we tried. So I said, you know what, let's give this one more shot. We had him on the mat, and we just did sort of like a total body scan, just trying to check out all the muscle groups. And I found this tender point along the calf muscle. And I started manipulating that point, doing some therapy techniques. And he sat up, and suddenly he says to me, you know what, my back feels a lot better. And I thought, wow, this is really incredible and really great for this guy. But over the years, whenever I had someone who had back pain and we were stuck and we couldn't get any further and then the tools I had were not working, I would pull this out and manipulate that tender point on the calf, and suddenly they would have relief. And I realized that, you know, this is something that can really help a lot of people. And, you know, the people talk a lot about the aha moment, you know, the eureka moment of the invention. And it's interesting for me, finding out this point that it helped the back was not really the aha moment, because this is something that I was developing slowly over time, and I saw it happening, and I thought it was great and pretty awesome. But the aha moment was when I thought, you know what, I could actually take this technique and turn it into a consumer product. And then I could help not just one person, but many, many people with this. And that was really a mind shift for me. And that's when I really began sort of the inventing process.
Akiva, is this actually something that's already existed where, whether it's doctors or physical therapists or, you know, people that relieve pain, that point in the calf, is it a pressure point that people know about? What really, I know that you were kind of scanning that person, but is it something known out there?
So this is an interesting thing. You know, if you go to, if you have pain, let's say, if you go to your internist, your regular doctor, they'll typically prescribe some medicine. If you go to a surgeon, they'll do surgery. Neurologists, they'll test out the nerves. The only health practitioner that's really using both the muscles and the joints together and manipulate them and work with you through that is really your physical therapist. So, although it seems like, wow, how come we don't know about this tender point? How come the doctor doesn't know about this tender point, that helps your lower back? Well, the truth is he wouldn't know about it because they don't manipulate the muscles to help with the joints. It's really the therapists that do that every day. And that's why there are new techniques that are evolving in physical therapy really every day. This is sort of one of them. So that's how it evolved for me. Going back and looking at it, it's definitely related to certain acupuncture, acupressure techniques, trigger point techniques that have been around for a long time. But it's not something that's mainstreamed into modern medicine.
Okay. Well, we spent some good time figuring out how you were kind of developing this side of it and discovering that this is going to help somebody. So how did you take this to the next step, Akiva?
So the first thing I wanted to do really was get some patent protection. I had never done any inventing before, but I knew I need to get a patent. So what I did is I did a Google search. I looked on Google and I looked all over the place to see, is there any connection between this calf muscle and back pain? Has anyone done anything with this? And I searched and I searched, and I was surprised that I couldn't find anything. And at that point, I started the process of working out a patent. So I had to contact several different lawyers, and at the time, I didn't know much about the patent process, but I was connected with a lawyer from Connecticut, and we started the process, and he came down, we took pictures of a model that I made, and we started the application process.
Okay. So once you started that and you knew that you were in the point of being patent pending, how did you, well, you had prototypes already. So before the patent process and starting to file, how did you figure out how to make a prototype?
Yeah. So the prototype, that was interesting. What I did was I had to buy braces from, your CVS, whatever kind of pharmacy, tear them apart, and my mother had to show me how to sew. And actually, before I even knew how to sew, I had to use some Mighty Mended, which is an As Seen on TV product to get the fabric to adhere. But I basically played around in my basement until I could put something together that didn't look very nice. It wasn't something that I could sell in a store, but it did the job. It worked. It did exactly what I needed it to do.
Okay. So you kind of sewed something up together and then you waited for it to dry, hopefully, and then you kind of slipped it on. You slipped it on, or did you get one of your patients to put it on? How did that work?
So, it wasn't hard to find subjects to try it on. Really, all my coworkers have back pain. I have back pain. My relatives, everyone has back pain. So it was very easy to find testers for it. And certainly I tested a little bit, but I knew that the technique was solid and that it absolutely worked because it was a technique that I used on a regular basis in the clinic. It was just a matter of making a design around it.
Okay. So you figured out, through some trial and error, putting the prototype together, realizing that you had something that kind of worked. And now, were you thinking about doing more Mighty Mended prototype type of samples, or were you looking to go into production?
So what I did was I really tried to get some of credibility and validity to the product. So I actually made about 30 of them with the Mighty Mended and a little bit of sewing skill that I had. And I brought them over to the hospital where I'm working. And I did a small clinical study to have some clinical validity to the brace. And that was an interesting process going through the hospital review board and finding subjects. But I got about 16 people that came, some nurses, and they tried it out, and we had great success with that study. And from there, I knew I had some I knew I had a real product.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. This clinical study that you did, is that something that people can kind of, with their idea, go out and do a survey or do some market research and get that kind of feedback? Or when you're saying clinical study, is that something that was official?
Yeah, so this was an official study done within the hospital network. This is how, coming from a clinical background, these are how clinical products normally develop. And someone comes up with an idea or a pharmaceutical drug, for instance, and then you go through various studies and trials in order to make sure that it actually works and is safe for people to use.
Okay, and does
so
that
that's
cost
how
money?
I did that. But, certainly, yeah, you got to, asking people about it, doing surveys and finding out, what people really, do they like the product or not? Does it work or not? Is absolutely the same idea.
Okay. Did the clinical study cost money to do?
The clinical study did not cost me anything other than the cost of making the prototypes.
So if an inventor had a product like yours and they weren't a physical therapist, let's say, and they wanted to do a clinical study, would they be able to do that for free, or do they have to get like a hospital on board to do it, or how does that work?
They would have to get somebody within the hospital network on board with that and have them work with them in order to do that. It's not so easy to just go ahead and introduce that on your own if you're not part of that system.
Okay. Well, you did this clinical study. You had some great results of people that had relief from their back pain from your product. And can you, I know we're listening to the radio, tell me the website that we can go on or something that we can look at it. And then if you could just describe the product for us quickly.
Sure. So the product is available at beactivebrace.com. The actual product is something that you're probably familiar with. It's a neoprene sleeve. It looks like a knee brace. The unique part about it is it has a pressure pad built into the neoprene sleeve with a strap, and you apply it on the lower leg right below the knee with the pressure pad on the outer edge of the calf muscle. And when you tighten the strap, the pressure pad applies a point-specific pressure to the calf, which applies pressure to the calf muscle and helps to relieve tension on the sciatic nerve.
Okay. We can see that at, what was the website again?
It's at beactivebrace.com.
Okay, beactivebrace.com. Super. All right, so you had this clinical survey done. You had some great results. What'd you do next, Akiva?
So I think this is a point where a lot of inventors have trouble, and they think to themselves, what am I going to do here? I can either manufacture this myself, or I can try and license it to somebody else and have them do it.
Right, that's the fork in the road.
That's the fork in the road. And I was at that fork in the road, and I certainly didn't have money to go ahead and manufacture it myself and do it myself. On the other hand, I didn't have a lot of connections or network to license it to somebody else either. So I decided I would try to do both, as many as I can.
Okay.
And so what I did first, after securing the patent, or at least the patent pending process was to try and find a manufacturer to start to get a little bit of inventory so I could start to sell it myself a little bit. And at the same time, try and reach out to some other people, companies, and see if anybody was interested in licensing the idea.
Okay. So How did you find a manufacturer?
So there's a friend of mine who actually is a manufacturer of electrical heating mats in New Jersey. And he has a little factory of his own, but he had a lot of connections in China, and he told me, you know, I can help you out. I'll call some manufacturers in China and get you some samples, and we'll have some made. And that really helped me out a lot because I had no idea how to contact China or how to make that work. I tried a little bit on my own just through Alibaba, trying that out, but I had no success. Okay. But through my friend, he got me a few manufacturers who sent me over some samples, and we found the right type of fabric, type of Velcro, type of neoprene, and I had a small sample shipment of about, I think it was 1,000 pieces.
Okay.
That was sent to my house.
Nice. Now, there was a couple of things that kind of intrigued me when we first met, Akiva. You told me that when you were on your path to, and that fork in the road, there was a path, the way that you were going to get it to market. You were thinking about crowdfunding, and you were contacting venture capital and doing all different types of things. So tell me a little bit about each step of the way that you attempted to get it to market.
Sure. So the journey that I went through, by the way, is it's a long journey. The whole process took probably 8 or 9 years. So over this length of time, there are many times where I tried something and it didn't work, and I tried something and it didn't work. So there was a lot of ups and downs along the road. But, yeah, absolutely, I tried many ways to try and get this to market. One way was to try and get some funds in order to get some kind of marketing for the product. So I had already had these samples, about 1,000 pieces in my house, and I didn't have any money to go out and market them in the stores, you know, to get a to have proper signage or proper placement. So I made an Indiegogo campaign, and Indiegogo is a lot like a Kickstarter. It's a crowdfunding site, and I put together a short video that I made myself, and put it online. My goal was, I believe it was $50,000. And I think we raised about $1,500. So it wasn't a successful, campaign. I did not get to the right market. So that was a failure.
You know, a lot of people at that point, Akiva, when you do put that out, a lot of inventors that I speak to are concerned about intellectual property because everybody in the world is looking and trying to find different things, and it's kind of exposed, number one. Number two, if you do put something out there and you don't raise funds and you start to ask other people to get involved in your product and you tell them you did a crowdfunding that was unsuccessful, sometimes they run away also. So, I mean, you know, making the decisions of going to these type of platforms is something that you really need to think about before you do, because it may affect the next step in your trying to get it out there process.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, it's definitely a balance of things. You know, you have to decide. It was definitely a risk when I did that, though I decided, you know, I need to try and do some action. I need to try and get some funding and do something and see what kind of interest there was. And unfortunately, that was unsuccessful. But I did get a lot of good feedback from that process. Mm-hmm. And no one stole my idea, so that was good too.
Well, you had the next also that you tried and you attempted was venture capital, right?
Venture capital, yes. Yeah, I had a meeting with Venture Capital Group. And this was an interesting step for me because you know, I'm really in the clinical world, working with clients one-on-one in a clinic setting. And here I was, you know, I'm usually wearing scrubs, and here I was wearing a suit going into the, you know, the office, meeting with the venture capital guys, and trying to ask them for money. Which you know, by the way, before I met the venture capital firm, I had the opportunity to meet individual investors and show them the product. And for me, one of the difficulties was, you know, I would show them the product and they would show interest and they would like it and they'd say, well, that's very interesting. But a lot of times there was no follow-up from that point. And what I discovered is I had a lot of trouble asking for the investment. You know, I could show them, oh, it's a great product, but I had trouble asking them, you know, now I need, you know, $300,000 to put it in the marketplace or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Once I met the venture capital firm, it was a lot easier to put together a business plan, a whole proposal, and have all that in there. So it was more of a proper presentation.
Okay, so when you went through that experience of pitching venture capitalist in your suit instead of your scrubs, what kind of experience did you have then? Did they get it? Did they not get it? Did you get the money?
So fortunately, the guy I met with had back pain, and he put it on, and he was just so ecstatic about it. He was in from the beginning. He said, "This is great. I love it. It's working for me. You know, let's try and work out something and make this happen." And so that was a great experience, and I was fortunate in that meeting that that's how that went. And then over time, we kind of hashed out a lot of ideas, and it just turned out that over time I saw that our ways of going to market, our views of how the future would go were very, very different, and that it was just not going to work out. So we had to sort of disband.
Okay, so as that was through the negotiating, you never took the money or they weren't involved in your product?
No, in the end, they were not involved in the product. I did not take any money from them. And we had a number of talks over a couple of months, and it was all very exciting. But it really, from my point of view, the future was just not, we were not in the same place. We were not thinking the same way. And I didn't see it as a, you know, even though I needed the partnership, I needed the money to go forward, I needed to make it happen, I felt that this was not the way to do it, and I just had to pull out.
What do you feel, because a lot of inventors listening, they feel like they should try the crowdfunding, they should try the venture capital. What have you learned that you can share with the inventors on these two processes?
So, you know, each one is very different. And I think it's important to try as many things as you can, if it makes sense, just because even if a deal doesn't work out, I mean, the experience of the business experience, the business acumen that you get over all these experiences is just invaluable. So it's really important that you get a lot of meetings, that you talk to people, you know, I believe, absolutely. But the crowdfunding is its own animal. I think today, if you do crowdfunding, you must have a professional videographer. It must be visually stimulating. You must have a lot of social media that's behind it. And if you don't have those things, then I'm not going to say it's doomed to failure, but you're going to have a really hard time making that work. So although it seems so simple, you just put it on Kickstarter, I think it's a very difficult process.
No, I hear you. And, you know, yeah. I always try to get the word out to inventors listening that when you're coming up with an idea and you were at the point where you had it developed and you were looking at the different ways to fund it, but you got to take the emotion out of the inventing process and focus on the business side. And, you know, sometimes the emotion can lead you where you might make decisions that aren't exactly the right ones, or you're making them with too much uncertainty. But when you take away the emotion and you focus on the business side of it, which it sounds like you did, now we know what we know. At this point, you made some right decisions, and we're going to go into the next step. But wouldn't you agree with that, the emotion and the business side of an invention?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, emotion is, especially inventors, when you're starting out, and this is your baby that you've worked on. And I put years of staying up to 4 a.m. and sewing this thing in my basement when my kids are crying, upstairs. It's so much sweat and tears that you put into, your baby. It's hard to just give it away or to stop the process, but it's very important in business to look at things objectively and absolutely keep moving. And if you know that you have something good, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and just you have to just really keep going.
So you're absolutely right. Now, so you tried a couple of these different ways to get the money to bring it to market, but you did have some products. You said you had 1,000 units, and I know that you started off by selling to local pharmacies, and you were doing some organic marketing and kind of getting the word out there in that regard, right?
Yeah, I did. I went to some local pharmacies, really like mom and pop shops kind of thing, not to the CVS or the Rite Aid. Those are a little more official, and you'd have to go through a central buyer, at least from what I understand. But I would go to like my local grocery store, and I showed them the product, and I said, "Hey, I'm a physical therapist, and I work locally in the area. This is my product. Do you think you could place it somewhere in the store?" And really, the managers and the store owners that I spoke to were so happy to just put it right. They put it right by the counter, right by in the best place in the store. Everything, of course, was on consignment. They didn't pay for it right away, but they were happy to take it on, which was great. I thought that was terrific. The difficult part for me, I have a full-time job and certainly a large family. So I would have to, every couple of weeks go and see how the inventory was. You have to collect on the amount that's sold. And it's really a time-consuming process. Very difficult to keep doing that.
Well, while you were doing that, you at the same time, you were looking for somebody to kind of, you were producing it and you had some inventory, but you were also looking into the licensing aspect of getting your product to market. And for the inventors listening that you haven't heard some of the other shows, licensing is going to a company that already has manufacturing set up, whether it's their own or outsourced, but they're responsible for the manufacturing. And they also have distribution, and they can have their own sales team of sales reps, or they have an outside source of sales reps. And they're the ones that are responsible for you to manufacture the product, bring it to market. And as an inventor, most of the time, we're kind of taking a seat back and collecting royalties. So as you had the inventory and you had it in local pharmacies and you're trying to do some grassroots type of growth, tell us about your experience going through and trying to find a licensee.
Yeah, so this was a great experience as well. The first thing I did was I looked online and in local pharmacies, and I went to sort of the bracing area to see where people had knee braces, wrist braces, back braces, and I saw who were the companies that were selling these items. And being in the physical therapy space already, I sort of had a few company names in my head. And I just sent out a few emails, and I sort of guessed the email of a CEO. One company was called GAO Global, which is where they make Don Joy braces, which is a large bracing manufacturer in the U.S., and I sent out an email to the CEO, and he responded. And he said, "Wow, it sounds like a nice product. I'm going to send a sales rep over to meet with you." And I met with the sales rep, and I showed them the item. And we talked back and forth for a number of months. And in the end, they showed interest, but then they said, "Nah, We're not going to put it in our product line. So that was it with that. I tried that with a number of other companies and did not get responses. But still, it was a great experience just writing these emails and trying to get a hold of the CEOs and sort of making these cold calls. That was all terrific.
Well, a lot of people, after they make a few calls and they get rejected, they feel like either their product is not good or they try to find somebody else to make those calls for them.
Yeah. Well, I felt the same way. Every time I got a rejection, it was, I'm back to square one. But, you know, I know you got to keep trying, you got to keep trying. Because really, as soon as you get that next interest, it picks you back up again, and you keep rolling.
Yep.
I also went to a couple of events, seen on TV companies, and usually these companies are pretty approachable. You can get them online through inventor forums and clubs and that sort of thing. And I also got some interest, but really there's a lot of hesitation from those companies to take on a health or pain-relieving product. So I wasn't able to get them to get a lot of interest.
Well, that's what you need. You need to hit this again. You know, when you're showing it to one person, they're kind of making the opinion for everybody in their market and in their mind. But you just need to find somebody that looks at it a little bit differently and does have or wants to give the opportunity to see if it can work or not. And as you made your rounds, you ended up with one of the friends of Gotinvention Radio, Bill McAllister from back in the day. He's known Media Enterprises. Now he's Top Dog. And you went to Bill, and he said, you know what? Let me give this baby a shot. And one thing that Bill told me was that when you approached him, that you really had a package deal. Like, there was, you had the finished product. You had everything. You had your together. You know what I mean? And he was excited about that. And that was motivation for him and also inventors listening. When you're bringing it up to a point where you have something that's really in front of you that you could see and feel and use and kind of have a package together, it does make it easier for the TV marketers or licensees. But at the same time, you could be so far into your production and you spent all that time and effort to try to make it perfect. And then when you get to a TV marketer or a licensee that is specific for an industry, they may want to tweak it their own way or rebrand it or, you know, kind of make it differently or different material. So it's okay to be almost there. You don't have to be exactly there, but Bill said you were there.
That's very nice of Bill. You know, that came out of all these business meetings, all these other failures along the way. So that at that point, when I finally met Bill and Steve and Erica, I had the patent granted at that point. I had a official presentation that I'd given to venture capital. I had a certain way that I could show them the problem, the solution, how many people are involved. I had all the research behind the product. So there was a lot that was already together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Bill and his team there gave it a shot. You're on TV. And I guess in a few words, without counting your money, tell us what kind of feeling it's been of the success that you've had. Be Active on TV is one of the top infomercial products right now. How do you feel about that, Akiva?
Yeah, it's incredibly fantastic. It's like really dream come true. It's turning my life around and inside out, which is fantastic. I mean, just being able to take something, a little idea that I had many years ago, and now it's all around the world, and it's just certainly in the nation, but also to be around the world is just, you know, it's incredible. It's mind-boggling from that sense, and just, you know, certainly the reward of being an inventor with a successful product is also, you know, incredible that I went from struggling day to day with certainly financially with a large growing family, you know, for many years, it's very, very difficult to to make ends meet, and you have growing debt when you invent and you have products and you get samples and you do a lot of meetings. And now my life is just totally turned around, and I'm really just enjoying every minute of this. Absolutely.
I'm very proud of you, Akiva, and you owe it all to Gut Invention Radio, right? I'm just kidding.
That's no, right. But, thank you, Brian.
I'm really proud of you. And, you know, to hear the steps and the different ways that you went around and you didn't quit, you kept going. It's okay. Look, if somebody told you that your product stunk and you kept going, and they told you your product stunk and you kept going, you know, sometimes you might want to go a little bit to the left or to the right and look at things a little bit differently and maybe adjust it to take a different path. But when people are telling you that it's great and it just happens not to fit into their product line, or they don't see it the same way that you do, then you got to keep going. You know what I mean? And there are people that keep going where they, you know, and after time they realize that it might not be a terrible product, but it's just not fitting in properly. Or maybe you start to realize that it is something that nobody really is going to use. And that's the hard part of inventing. So, you know, you saw that there was an opportunity. Other people saw. You kept going, and here you are. You're a winner today, Akiva. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Brian. You're absolutely right. It's a really difficult road, and sometimes there's a lot of negativity along the way. But, you know, you got to look for those positive points, and you know, you should certainly take feedback seriously and make sure you have a real product. But when you do, you got to keep going for it.
Now, inventors, not to start counting Akiva's money, but when you're using a TV infomercial marketer type of company that you're going to, and if they end up accepting your product and they bring it to market, you know, the average could be from 0.5% to maybe 3%, you know, depending on how much you have together, patent protection. There's a lot of variables to make up what they would offer. But, you know, when you step back and you look at that from an inventor's perspective that's not familiar with how it works, it sounds like nothing, like you're giving away your product. But Akiva can vouch, and, you know, I've had different products on TV also, you know, a small percentage of mass volume, and that's what these guys are looking for, adds up. Wouldn't you agree, Akiva?
Yeah, as seen on TV products, or direct response television products, are incredible monster. They're just incredible amount of volume, you know, millions of units that go through. So even though it's a small percentage of a larger pie, it's a very large pie. So you should, you know, you got to take those small percentages very seriously, and you know, realize that, you know, you could have a product that you know, sells 10 or 20, and you have 100% of the profits. But if you're selling to Walmarts and Walgreens, and you have millions of units that are going out to the stores, you know, absolutely, you can make a deal for, you know, that range.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So what's next for you? Tell me. You have to be active on the market. What's next?
Be active on the market. And, yeah, definitely looking to take more ideas from the clinic setting. I have a lot of techniques that I develop in the clinic where I use physical therapy techniques to help with pain relief or pain in your knee, pain in your ankle, pain in your wrist. And I want to take these techniques and turn them into products so people can be able to use these techniques at home. Absolutely.
All right. So the next product's going to be for the kvetchers, right?
That's right. There's a lot of them around. Everyone's kvetching.
All right. So tell us, with everything that you've given us, you've great advice. Love to hear the story. Give us some final words of wisdom, some inventing tips for the listeners out there. They're at all stages of the invention process. Some have that idea on a napkin in their head. Other people are at the fork in the road. Other people have product, but they don't know what to do next. Akiva, give us some final words of wisdom from you.
Sure. So for all those inventors out there, you know, just realize, first of all, this is a very, very long, arduous process. This is not generally something that goes very quickly, though it certainly can. You know, people go through many ups and downs. There are a lot of failures and high points that happen in the process, and that's absolutely normal. And, you know, you need to have people around you that will support you. My wife was incredible in supporting me through this process. My family was incredible in supporting me through this process. You know, try to get in touch with other inventors, invention groups, in order to go through this process, and realize that there are resources out there to help you. I know certainly Brian has some, but you can also go to, certainly with the company I worked with, Top Dog, they have a website, topdogdirect.com, where you can submit ideas, and they're always looking for new things. And, you know, really do some research to make your idea happen, because it really can be a reality.
Sounds good. Akiva, I'm hoping that I hear you on Got Invention Radio again with your next success story. All right, that would be nice.
Looking forward to that.
All right, Got Invention Radio listeners, Akiva Schmidman, he is the inventor of Be Active, a successful TV infomercial product. Congratulations, Akiva, on your success. We'll speak to you soon. Thank you again for joining us on our show tonight.
Thank you, Brian. Thank
Got Invention Radio listeners, thank you for listening. Keep on inventing. Listen to all those shows Akiva has. You can make your product a success, your ideas, your inventions a success. Keep on inventing. Got Invention Radio.